let James speak more. Thank you.
We just recently had our, I'm James Mitchell, I'm a trustee for the Elks Club. We just recently had our meeting. The club was unanimous in the support, and they're looking forward to being able to work with the Harbor District and trying to get something going over there.
Congratulations.
And all we need to do is just a date and a signature for Mr. Remick, and we're all done.
Thank you.
And we will need a copy for our record.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
First, I want to know is, I didn't see anything about a closed session today, so you guys don't have a closed session? Nope. Okay, well, because you reported out a closed session, and there's nothing about closed session on here, no agenda items or whatnot else. And additionally, on the last meeting, special closed session meeting, lasted 2 hours and 40 minutes for negotiation on one employee. If there was anything else discussed during that closed session meeting than what was described on that pamphlet or whatever this is, then you were in violation of the Brown Act, and I want you to stop it. There was no attorney. There's no attorney here, is there, right now, representing this meeting?
Currently, no.
Okay, thank you. That said, Mr. Rademacher has undeniably brought this government entity into the 21st century. And for that, he deserves recognition. However, we are now faced with a very serious problem, and that's called deception. Mr. Rademacher has been caught deceiving not one, but two government entities. And this isn't a matter of hearsay or interpretation. It's by his own documented actions. He told the Coastal Commission that he was not residing at 245 Anchor Way, that he was at the Coast Guard station. Then he informed the county that he had the necessary permits from the Coastal Commission, yet in a contract he personally developed, he clearly stated he would reside at 245 Anchor Way. That is blatant deception. So I ask, how does this level of dishonesty impact the harbor and the way it conducts its business? It reflects poorly not just on Mr. Rademacher, but on every one of you. This board already has a reputation for circumventing transparency, such as holding so-called special meetings that are closed session and not held with legal counsel, and the last one lasting 2 hours and 40 minutes. If anything else, and I already brought that to your attention, that was discussed, it was in violation of the Brown Act. The public sees this, people have taken notice, and now you have no legal representation at all. Who advised that? Why don't you have legal representation at these meetings? Mr. Rademacher advised that. He doesn't want to pay for it. So you clearly don't understand your jobs. I don't get it. Why this board is so lackadaisical. I strongly urge you, do not lock yourselves into a long-term contract with Mr. Rademacher at this point. If you must continue his employment, hire him from a month-to-month basis while you conduct...
Thank you. Your 3 minutes are up.
You're not going to let me finish this? Are you serious? Huh? You let everybody else talk way over 3 minutes, but you're not going to let me finish this?
You haven't asked me.
I'm asking you now. It's like one paragraph.
Okay, go ahead.
If you must continue his employment, hire him on a regular month-to-month basis while you conduct a legitimate search for full-time qualified harbor master, because if you sign that proposed contract, watch what will happen before the ink even dries. And now, I'd like to address Mr. Rademacher. Here's the socks he left at underneath our marriage bed, just in case you told yet one more lie about our relationship. Thank you.
Can I just address a few things? So you're making this suggestion that we represented that harbor personnel were not to the Coastal Commission, the harbor personnel were not living in the Harbor House, so-called Harbor House building, 245 Anchor Way. I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, it's been discussed here in public, like, numerous times, like, probably a half dozen times.
The Coastal Commission that is not aware of that, and he told me exact words he used. So, and the exact words was that...
Mr. Chairman, can we bring the meeting to order, please?
Yeah.
Thank you.
So
I wonder where we had a 2-hour and 40-minute closed session.
Mr. Chairman, we bring the meeting.
Is it okay? Make a short comment.
Yeah,
I
just wanted to respond. I think the suggestion that the Coastal Commission is not aware that harbor employees are living there is ridiculous, because it's been announced publicly. It's been in my employment contract, which has been posted on the website. I've talked to the county. Immediately before I had the conversation with Mr. Levine, the county was out there at the building. The county is talking to the Coastal Commission. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Okay. All right. Somebody else.
Hi, it's Alicia Williams. So I just wanted to make some suggestions that I've made previously that I believe would be really helpful for you guys to delegate duties more evenly across the board, because what I've witnessed is that Mike has been taking on too much and not good at delegating or directing commissioners to do things that are under their purview based on their assigned committees, and then also in tandem with Dave. Where the heck's Dave been lately, you guys? He's just disappeared. But with Dave and the office staff, and as well as the maintenance, apparently you guys have a maintenance person that no one ever talks about, but he's not able to be directed to do the flag that the veterans have asked for at least twice in open session, so that's kind of embarrassing when you can't, you know, accomplish those sorts of things. The office staff are capable ladies. They've been working here for a while. And so back to the recommendation part is, if you guys could do something like as simple as using your complaint sheet, incident report, I believe you guys call it, and you could have that come through, you know, when anybody calls and actually get logged, and then have a, like, categorize it, like 4 different categories or something, and say for which category, which commissioner should get it, or which leadership position should get it to follow up. Put it in a binder, and then have like a time frame of when you guys do your initial follow up, like to say, hey, your complaint got assigned to this person to follow up. You'll get a resolution within, I don't know, 30 days or something like that. Create some sort of a accountability process is gonna be helpful. And just thinking of how can we redistribute duties at the harbor is going to be important. I don't know what you've discussed. Something that I did find out that is concerning is that Dave resides in Southern California, and he's been gone a lot. Mm-hmm. And when he has represented the training of bookkeeping and stuff, that which it's great that you guys have brought that on board. Don't get me wrong, I love that. It's good. Instead of having it outsourced, but he kind of characterized it as he's sitting side by side training them when they've been doing training modules online, and he's not been here. So, and he gets paid a lot of money. So just kind of want to say that's a concerning, I don't like that. I just would rather it have been like, everybody knew that, like, he's gone a lot, he's down in Southern California because that's where he lives. So there was something else, but I can't think of it. I have another meeting that conflicts, so I can't stay, and I really am glad you guys are doing a dredging update and about the fireworks. So I'm hoping that you guys will post something about that soon, so that I can know what happened, since I won't be here.
Yeah. Thank you. We have it for you.
For me.
The dredging.
Thank you. Well, it's not for me. I don't even have a boat.
So,
you requested it.
Alicia, the flag is up. Is there another flag you're talking about?
You guys brought it up?
Yeah, it's up there.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. I'm just saying it came up twice in Delegate.
Yeah.
That's the point.
yeah, no, we did. Yeah.
All right. Anybody else would like to contribute? Public comment. Online?
There's no one on Zoom.
Nope, nobody there? All right. And we move on from there to number 2, communications and reports. Report from March 26th. Special meeting, obviously, already did. Harbor Commission and committee report.
I have nothing to report at this time.
All right.
I have nothing to report.
Nothing at this time.
All right.
Okay, Mike?
Okay. So a lot of my report is in the staff reports that I prepared, but I would just update everybody on Ocean Gold. There's a lot of promising developments with that. They are really confident we're going to have some shrimp coming across the dock, which could be several $100,000 of revenue. And they're working on the ice plant very diligently. They're doing testing. That's moving forward. So, and then we're working very diligently with Creed, the commercial real estate development enterprise. We're having meetings with TCA architects, and we're getting prepared for the economic summit, which is going to be April 16th. So I'd encourage everyone to come to that, and you'll learn a lot about our development plans. And we'll get some feedback at that point in time. We have a lot of updates on the fireworks and the dredging, but we can probably hold off until the
until we get to
the agenda. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I personally, I have nothing to report because the finance committee hasn't met yet. We will soon talk about our budget. So I'm looking forward during the next few meetings to be able to report. Mm-hmm. All right. Next is the consent calendar. Let's approve the minutes. Is there anybody who wants to make a change to those calendar minutes?
No, I move we approve the consent calendar.
I'll second.
All right, that's the call.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Shepherd?
Aye.
Vice Chair Niemer?
Aye.
Chair Weber?
Aye. All right, those minutes have been approved. We're moving on to number four, action items. I'm removing point A, consider and approve CEO Harvey Mast employment agreement, Euler report compensation amount to a future meeting. We have not completed our talks. And the second one, B, is consider and appoint a maintenance ad hoc committee. Anybody who would like to talk about this?
Well, I will move to, according to the president's comments, the A, sub A, to a future meeting, a date to be determined by the president.
You have to vote?
Topic for
yeah.
A. If you can pick a time to move it to, I will motion to move it to that date. The 4A.
I don't know at the moment when exactly we can vote on that. That date is not available at the moment.
So we're just gonna table it for today.
We're just gonna table it. We haven't finished our conversation.
Very well. Good enough for me.
I'll second that motion to table 4A. Would you vote on it?
Yeah.
Table.
Okay. Let's.
You might want to continue it. It's just easier to bring it back if you continue it.
Okay.
Amend your motion.
Yes. Motion to continue item 4A.
Second.
Okay. Let's do a roll call on it.
Commissioner Schmidt.
Yes.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Shepherd?
Aye.
Vice Chair Niemer?
Aye.
Chair Weber?
Aye. Okay, thank you for your help. Point B, consider and appoint a maintenance ad hoc committee. Let's talk about it.
Yes, so I spoke with a past harbor commissioner, and once upon a time, they used to have a maintenance ad hoc committee who would meet every other Saturday at the harbor to go over maintenance needs with individual buildings and parcels. And so the request is to reinstate a maintenance ad hoc committee to inspect and create work orders that are necessary for improvement and maintenance of the harbor. And I guess my recommendation or hope would be that at least one of the board members has some knowledge of building or, when you look at, the maintenance will join, the head maintenance or a maintenance individual join the ad hoc committee and is supposed to discuss with us the needs of the harbor or the issues with each building. We write it down, create work orders to ensure that the proper maintenance is being conducted. Currently, many buildings need improvements to lease, but also they need a maintenance schedule for preventative maintenance, and so this is to ensure that that takes place.
I have a lot of unfinished projects at home, so I do have some knowledge of remodeling and things like that. I'd be happy to assist other commissioners on that committee.
Does any other commissioner want to be
on that? I need some more comments on that. John, do you have anything?
I don't think I would be good for that. My availability would be limited, so I'd have to forego volunteering for that at this time, but maybe in the future.
Any comment on the need of that ad hoc committee?
No, I don't. I don't have a comment. No.
Is there?
Okay.
So, if I can just comment here. So we're looking at considering implementing a computerized maintenance management system under 5A.
Yeah, that's what was confused to me. I thought that's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
So in order to implement this, we'd have to have work orders. And we could implement that and just rely on the staff to fill
that out. So these individuals would go to a building and make out a work order for what's needed in that building?
Well, part of the how the labor unions work usually, to complete a task, they need a work order. Or just in general, you need a work order, and then it shows completed or the supplies they use to complete that. So there's an inventory of what they did. On 5B, can we... the maintenance, the computerized maintenance management system would allow for work orders to be implemented, then the maintenance goes in, they see them, you can prioritize, like, you know, the roof is leaking, or, I don't know, a stud is rotting, or termites, or whatever, and so that you would have a priority, maintenance crew can go in and complete it, they show time, whoever completed it, and any supplies necessary. It also would generate the preventative maintenance, which in my opinion, I think is lacking because every building has some serious repairs it needs. So the maintenance, the...
So what would be the point? So the point of the maintenance ad hoc committee is to write the work orders or to identify issues, or what's the request?
The advice I received from another commissioner was that there used to be a maintenance ad hoc committee that ensured the repairs were being done. And so we could implement the system and hope it gets done, or reevaluate it, or we could go on the front end, create an evaluation, put it into the system, and make it start happening. So
what's the operation?
We are right now, I think, we're bouncing around on the edge of where the board should be involved in.
Mm-hmm.
The board is there for oversight. And the fact that we have employees missing and we're trying to backfill that information with commissioners. If we're doing the order, the work orders, this is what the executive branch has us to do. This is why we pay people the big bucks. We are here for oversight and for asking the tough questions and to figure out what major directions need to be taken in order to keep this harbor running. Now, if we're seeing somebody not being able to keep track of buildings, we have a job to do. We then recommend, maybe, if the harbor master is not hiring people for it, to make that recommendation to the harbor master. Say, hey, you got to hire somebody. Or if we don't have the money to hire somebody, use the software. Maybe that would be an intermediary response on our part. But for me to do the daily work, this is not what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, that, and also, I don't know that we have the qualifications to write up work orders, and the other problem is that I think everybody kind of knows what's wrong with the buildings and everything else, that we just don't have the money to fix them.
So
you could write all the work orders you want, but if you can't, don't have the money to do it, why would you even need a work order?
So my idea with that is there's been, for instance, other professions interested in leasing buildings, and you could come up with a lease that says, these are the issues, we do not currently have the budget, but in this lease we can do a work exchange, you can create these repairs, in exchange for rent until it's repaired, and then the rent is. But I'm trying to figure out how we can lease these buildings that aren't generating revenue to generate revenue to cover the shortfall.
That's what we're paying this Creed for, $5,000 or whatever, to look at the buildings and recommend them to investors that are going to want to move into them. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, to some extent.
And then they would go in and assess the building and see what it needed, and before they would...
However, maintenance does a lot more than buildings. I mean, right now
our maintenance is so spread thin.
We've given up on cutting the grass. We're doing it ourselves. They're being pushed a little.
They're spread so thin. I mean, that's what I'm getting at, is we don't have the maintenance. We don't have the manpower or the money to do the work that we would write the work orders for.
I think it would be very useful if we somehow had an opportunity. Look at every building, you know, one or two of us, whatever.
We've done that.
Okay, and know everything that's wrong.
Well, I'm not saying we knew everything was wrong. We did an assessment, and we wrote down everything that we could see that was wrong.
Okay, and we have that someplace, right?
I believe it's probably outdated. It's been 2 years ago that we did it.
Okay, maybe a quick update might be helpful.
Something like that I can see, but to write work orders and all that, I don't see us qualifying for that. And what we would do with those work orders, I don't know what you would do with them.
We prioritize them to ensure if you... So my understanding is Creed is to create a development and a developer relationship, not necessarily to go in and analyze the building. You'd have to have a developer say, I want that space in order to address...
Well, before they did anything, they would look at the building and assess the building as to whether it was worthy of them to invest money into it. And I don't think anything we said about it would change that. So, I mean, we did an assessment. We asked for a lot of work to be done. This was quite, you know, a couple of years ago, and we just didn't have the manpower to do it.
My examples, I guess, would be Porta Pints and the building between the chart room and House of Jambalaya. Both of those individuals wanted the lease, and we made the lease happen. They made the repairs happen.
Right.
So...
They went in and assessed what needed to be done and did it.
Okay.
I mean, don't you think that's what happened?
Well, I think they were insistent on getting it done. I was just trying to figure out if we could assess the buildings. Maybe there's a priority of repairs. So I've actually had a couple different fishermen approach me about the sheriff's building. I was on the phone. Mr. Rademacher called... Rich Salvaresa, and he listed off several issues about that building, but we didn't write it down. We don't know the priority. We could have potentially had a lease for the sheriff's building, mm-hmm. but we're kind of at this stalemate of, do we lease out the buildings? We're waiting until mid-April to get the architects. So my idea or my thought is to be proactive in knowing what needs to be wrong. In case the architects aren't interested in those buildings, we can quickly start trying to generate revenue with local leases.
And I would say as on a short-term basis, if we start this up at least until we have all of our buildings rented out and taken care of, that we should probably have that ad hoc also be involved in, if we decide on it, in the implementation of the computerized management system of maintenance. So that would be one of those tasks that I would see as an ad hoc to do it as oversight, but not necessarily doing the work. So, okay, we just spent this money on the software. What are your steps to implement this, Mike? And then let's meet on it and see where we are. Are you going to send the guys out? How is the software that we are spending money on being used? I would see this as a very helpful thing. Short term, do we want to keep the ad hoc on forever? Who knows? If the need arises, we'll reestablish it. But if we have an ad hoc for the next 6 months and test it out and see how it works,
Mr. Chairman,
I have nothing against it. Yes.
I would move that the president here has the authority to appoint an ad hoc committee. I would invite the president to identify the need for an ad hoc committee, I think you just did, and that you put it on, have a lifespan of 6 months.
I want to go on first. I want to handle the number five first, because that would be one of those items that the committee would be involved
yes.
in, the ad hoc.
That's my motion. I also volunteer to be on that ad hoc committee.
Okay. You have it too, right?
Yes, I would volunteer to be on that committee as well.
Did you second the motion?
I don't think we don't need a motion. I just make the decision
to
have, okay, I hereby establish an ad hoc to work with maintenance for six months for right now, and then we can always extend it if needed. Commissioner, Vice Chair Niemer and Commissioner Dan Schmidt are going to be on that ad hoc. Okay.
Any comments on this?
Public comments, yes.
You know, I don't know if you need to develop more bureaucracy.
Hmm.
Yeah. All five of you and you have a harbor commissioner here. Something's wrong. Mm-hmm. You tell the entire board. Why this level of bureaucracy when I hear, I guess the magic words, it used to be this way? Well, anytime you revert to the old guard, my antenna goes way up. You know, because they did a lot of things that were not so smart. So I'm not sure why you need this level of bureaucracy when you're all five very much in touch with all the issues. You have a very adequate and excellent harbor commissioner who reports everything to each of the five commissioners. Why do you need this level of bureaucracy? Can someone answer that? Is it something that is being overlooked and ignored and something that's not getting done because there's no money? Well, you already know that. So, hold the horses on this one. Keep all of you in touch. All of you should be on the ad hoc committee.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Alicia again. I was just kind of saying this could tie into that incident report thing that I was talking about. So it's important to have it at a central location because that way, no matter who calls, there's like a spot that you can check what's the status on that, like if somebody's sick or something. And whoever's, like if it's a maintenance issue, the maintenance guy can say, hey, I just completed that, can you make a note? And then the person, it could be anybody, it could be the clerk, it could be the office manager, it could be one of the commissioners that's in the office, can pull the binder. And you guys could have that and you could correspond with like a digital spreadsheet that you guys could access on your shared file. It's something simple that you could just use to implement for any incident, including work orders or whatever the heck you want to call them. And then as far as the implementing a computerized maintenance management, it doesn't sound like you're going to be utilizing that to a degree that's going to constitute spending money on it, because you're just saying about the lack of funding and workforce. And then there's also a lot of overlap with some grants, grant work that's coming up the pipe and other things you guys brought up. And then also I just want to mention, isn't there already like a commission that this would fall, the purview of this would fall under, that exists? That I don't know what all your committees are called.
Maintenance.
On development, isn't there one that's on
maintenance?
No, it's development.
I mean, we do have an infrastructure.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah.
That's the one. The infrastructure. Why don't you just throw it under
the infrastructure?
I believe I'm on it.
And the last thing I want to point out is like we should all have a sheet that says who's on what committee. I already brought this up at another meeting.
It's on the website. Yeah.
Well, I know, but y'all don't know right now. Y'all, we're asking each other who's on what committee. Maybe you should have that as a guiding document at these meetings, okay?
You're right.
And then what was the other thing I was just going to say? It was just brought up that you weren't taking good notes, that who just brought up there was a lengthy conversation and you didn't, whoever, I'm assuming it's you that's responsible for that, didn't take good notes on the assessment and what I don't know, a consultant that you guys had here was going over. That's your responsibility. And then in addition to that, you should be getting in the habit of doing recap emails after you have these conversations to keep people on the same page with stuff. I mean, just get a little bit better with your admin functions.
Yeah, I mean, we had a phone call with our chief of maintenance and it wasn't really a note-taking situation. It was just an informal phone call, but
well, I think you should take phone calls as all being formal when it's business related. That's my
I mean, opinion. We were in the middle of doing something else at the time. I mean, anyway, I appreciate your point, though.
There's one more public comment over Zoom, Sandy. All right, go ahead.
Unmute, Sandy. Are we got unmuted or?
Shoot, yeah, you gotta click that.
Can you hear me now?
Oh.
Oh yeah.
That's really loud.
I'm back. Okay, so I was going to save my comments to where when you got down to the software part, but I'm just going to put everything into this action item. It's important to have a maintenance ad hoc committee at the board level because you guys are a troubled company, and one of your issues is going to be how do you take what little bit of money you have and make it go as far as you can. So it will be important to have some kind of a look at the fixed assets, because what kills you on everything is the depreciation, right? All these items are being depreciated, and if you're not maintaining it, you're just going to lose all your assets. In addition, all of your lease contracts have a maintenance section of them, so it's really important that you have a formal way of managing maintenance. I'm never in favor of buying more software, because what always happens is you go in at an introductory level, and then they double the price within a year or two. So it's not what you thought it was once you've spent all the time to learn some new software and implement something. A good work order schedule can just be done on a spreadsheet, right? It just have them all numbered and just make sure you've got a form and you're managing it. It would have been interesting to have your maintenance supervisor guy here so he could tell us how he handles maintenance orders, because there is, as Alicia was saying earlier, you would assign four different kinds of codes on what kind of maintenance is it. Is it your regular maintenance, or is it an emergency just came up and something needs to happen? And so you should constantly have a list of these are all the maintenance items. And you're right, at an operations level, that maintenance supervisor guy you have should be reporting to that harbor master on a periodic basis, whether that's weekly, monthly, or whatever, but going over that whole list. And then the reason why it's important that the board have this maintenance ad hoc committee is because somebody's going to have to make some tough decisions about how are we going to do the maintenance, because you guys are so underwater on your depreciation and your and all of your assets there that somebody's going to have to take hard looks at how you do that. So it's not really about the developers coming in and saying, we've identified this property, we got somebody bringing money in. It really is more about the bigger picture, and this will come in when you guys start doing your budget, about listing what all your assets are, not just parcels and income-producing assets, but your vehicles, your machinery, et cetera, et cetera. And it's really important that there be a good system on that. And again, I come back to when you get to that other item, I would strongly say, if you're looking at a work order thing, yeah, it would be nice, but you guys don't have the money to go spend, say, $3,000 to $5,000 on some new software, and then everybody having to learn it, and then is it really maintained? There's better ways to make that happen when you don't have the money to do it. That's it for me. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Somebody else would like to make a comment. All right, in order to finish this off, I stamped on my assignment for the next 6 months with a new ad hoc. Would you please add it onto the website?
Okay.
And maybe we can make some changes to the website so those ad hoc assignments are easily more visible.
Yeah, if you go to the Board of Commissioners tab, it's on a drop down menu, so it's pretty
okay. It's
pretty easy to get to. It just says underneath, I think it has like maybe you could even show if you go to the
current website.
Yeah, so if you go so if you scroll to the top, okay, so you go to the Harbor Commission, and then it's right there, it says board committees. So it's pretty easy to get to. Is that satisfactory?
Very easy to get to.
Yeah, that's looks good.
We'll make an addition to that, though, for maintenance. Yeah.
And infrastructure, go down. What was infrastructure?
Me.
Just you by yourself?
No, Neiman.
Okay.
Oh, Schmidt.
Schmidt.
All right. Thank you very much for
putting
this up. All right. Since I don't see any more public comment, we're moving on to set a date and time for an ordinance review workshop. Who initiated that? Mike, did you bring this one up?
I think it was Vice Chair Niemer who was wanting to just do some kind of like house cleaning, I guess, kind of update a few things. Nothing major, right?
You know, we've talked the last meeting about the ordinance. Specifically, we changed the date of the meeting, and that is in the ordinances. Also, when we took over, I'd mentioned wanting to discuss a couple other items in the ordinances, such as fishing around the harbor, the last time we did the ordinances, it ended up being hours in here. There had to be a special workshop and then brought back to the board. So instead of doing all that, we just have the workshop and then bring the completed thing back to the board for approval.
Okay. Do you have any suggestions on when you would like to see us doing that?
I figured next Wednesday. We seem to be doing every Wednesday at 2:00.
Oh, yeah.
If that works.
Does it work for you guys? Any?
Yeah, may I ask of Mike? Mike, do we have all of our ordinances, like in a screen binder or something?
On the website?
They're on the website under the harbor profile, and I haven't checked to see if we have it printed out. I mean, everything's kind of going digital these days, but I'm sure we have it printed out somewhere. I've never looked at it myself, but
yeah. And did you say 2:00? Next Wednesday, 2:00.
So April 2nd, the
2:00.
Okay.
Ordinance review workshop.
Then.
Perfect.
Before we, I think we vote on it, I guess.
I don't think we have to.
The important part is,
no motion made.
We need to also know what is necessary for this meeting to be as effective as possible. So we need to come prepared with all the knowledge that we need in order to make the right decisions. Would you please advise us in the upcoming days on what you need us to know? Maybe the old ordinance, we have all the information handy, and then whatever else information we need to make it to even have a meeting and discuss it. Because I don't want to show up and say, okay, let's talk about ordinance. I have no clue. And so I want us to be super prepared, because then the meetings move on.
I agree. I don't know, Mike, if all of the ordinances, don't know what they are. I should look. But is it going to be 100 pages, 200 pages, 500 pages?
I mean, it's probably less than 100 pages, you know.
So that sounds like something that can, or six copies, or eight of the public copies can be printed out, and for the public anyway, they can have theirs in a three-ring binder to look at during the meeting, and then we'd each have our own copies to work with. I would think that would make sense if we're looking at 100 pages.
Yeah, and I can work with Vice Chair Niemer on her proposals and, you know, help disseminate that.
All right. So we get that information. All right, next.
So there's no public comment on any of these?
We didn't have it on that.
No, we haven't had it yet. All right, then let's have a public comment. Anybody with a public comment?
I mean, this is outrageous, you guys. You don't know how to have a meeting.
We had a bunch of comments on the maintenance ad hoc committee. Sandy was commented. Alicia commented. And that was the last one, and then the other one was
after
four.
Each item. Let me tell you something else.
You just
admitted that on March, the last meeting, last Wednesday, special closed session meeting, that you were discussing these items, and this was not on the agenda of the last meeting. You just said it. You'll have to listen to yourself.
The last regular meeting is when we discussed the ordinance.
It was a special closed meeting.
No, we never mentioned it on the closed
session. Okay, you guys are in trouble.
Well, we've had to compel a comment on every single one, so just don't do that.
The hell.
Hello, it's Alicia. So on these ordinances, this is way more than just the firework one that you guys were kind of flip-flopping back and forth with the county purview. This is like all the ordinances for the harbor, and you guys are like doing an update review type thing. So these are ordinances that are in your purview, not state mandate.
If you go on the CCHD website, there are three different ordinances listed. The ordinances are on there.
There's only three?
I would guess there's about 75 pages between all of it. Off on that, but.
And so this is just because it hasn't been done in quite a while.
Because we changed the time of the meeting, and that is within the ordinances.
Oh.
And so the ordinances could use a review as well. There are a couple other issues in there I would like to address, but that needs to be updated, and it has
nice.
To
be
updated.
Okay.
We've done the ordinances several times over the last few years, but I think Linda's the one that mentioned the meeting was put on, and we needed to put it on the procedure.
You have to update.
Policy and procedures, or we had to put it on something to change it. And that's what brought that up in a regular meeting, and that's why we're going to do it with the ordinance.
Okay, I was just kind of wanting to clarify. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Somebody else? Somebody a public comment? All right, so we set the date and time. All right, next, number five, information items. Fireworks regulation update.
Yes, so we had a meeting with the county and the city representatives and CHP and the fire marshal. The sheriff, well, I had a conversation with the sheriff, and I think you did as well, John. And the sheriff is really concerned about this administrative fine structure that the county has implemented. It's the first year they're doing it. And they're concerned about the cost of, like, hiring a hearing officer, you know, how much, you know, how many citations are going to be issued, how is it going to work. And so they're just really, I think, very cautious about taking on the harbor within their responsibility. And so what the sheriff advised me is he'd prefer if the harbor just stuck to state law for the time being, at least for this coming year. And the sheriff has marshaled a lot of additional state resources, additional CHP officers, state fire marshal, I believe there's another
highway patrol.
CHP.
I can't remember. There's another state agency, but
there's national, state parks, there's Cal Fire.
Oh, the parks. That's what
So
that's the one that I didn't realize they would enforce it, but yeah.
So the sheriff's strategy is just to hit really hard on the state law aspect of it, see how the county ordinance goes, and then if it works smoothly, then they'd be open to integrating the harbor within. I mean, I can't speak for the board of supervisors, but the sheriff at least would be open to reconsidering it next year, and then we'll see how the other county officials feel about that. But so that's the request that we received, and you know, it's ultimately up to the board if you want to do something independently or if you want to just follow state law this year.
State law, I mean, we should have been doing that all along. So it seems like the local law enforcement, they're just going to be cracking down on it, which I think we're going to see results with that. I do want to mention that we're going to be looking at assessing a parking fee of $5 for the inner boat basin. The harbor is going to retain that. That isn't going to go to the county or any other entity. That's going to be retained by the harbor for cleanup fees and fees associated with the 4th of July. The idea was that if we were to fall under the county ordinance and use their administrative staff to adjudicate any of these fines, that they would retain any of the fines that were collected to compensate them for their administrative task and what it would cost them. So just to be clear, the $5 parking is going to be retained by the harbor so that we can address cleanup from the 4th and some of our incurred costs after the 4th of July.
And they recommended us to put a list when we do the parking fee that they were abiding by state law fireworks.
Yeah.
And, you know, we will be asked to leave the premises if you're. So we should put that together.
They recommended
us doing that. And then if it gets out of hand, then we call them. If somebody refuses to leave or somebody refuses to not let off, continue lighting off illegal fireworks, then we call them, mm-hmm. and then they will respond to it. Is the way I took the whole way I read everything. Let them know that our local authorities are behind us. You're going to be asked to leave if you're lighting illegal fireworks, and if you refuse to leave, then we'll get our local authorities involved. So,
just like I mentioned in the staff report, the emphasis is going to be on education this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a trial and error. It's going to be tough this year. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if it is actually decreased much at all.
Yeah.
I have a concern about the hearing, and the outcome of the insurance. If we show a first offense being a $1,000 fine max, yes. Who's going to decide whether the fine will be $1,000 or $100?
So the sheriff is going to enforce state fireworks law. So we're going to step away from the county ordinance in our special mission.
Yeah, that whole MOU thing we had last week, what did you read that's gone kind of away because we don't really have the method of enforcing it, so we're looking at just exactly what I said. We're going to ask our local law enforcement to enforce any illegal action that's going on our premises. First of all, we'll ask them to leave the premises. If they refuse to leave and continue, then we get the law enforcement to come in, and they do that. They do the fining and whatever, drunken, disorderly, or whatever. That they're going to take care of that. We're not going to do any of that this year. Maybe next year we can do something along those lines, but this year I don't think we're capable of doing it.
Okay, I'm just concerned because somebody lighting off a firecracker down here might assess $10. Somebody down here might assess.
Yes,
we're not into that. We're not doing that. So you worried about us doing that?
I'm worried about the defendant and the equal justice application of the law to all offenders.
Yeah, we're not going to be doing so that. At the discretion of the sheriff's department.
And I think I can address that with the sheriff's department.
Yeah,
that's what you should do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, not with our board because we're not involved in that at all.
And just to clarify, the violation is consistent. It's $1,000 for the first offense and then $2,000 for the second offense. And I think it's just the number of offenses you've had. It's not any discretion in terms of the amount that an officer might cite someone.
We wouldn't be citing anybody.
However, I assume that our law enforcement will use some discretion on enforcing the law as well. So it's a little teeny tiny firecracker is probably not worth $1,000. But if somebody continues blowing things up, I guess if you get caught a second time.
But I think what the answer to the question is as a board and as the Harbor District, we are not going to be involved in that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, I mean, any of those kind of things will be addressed with our local bar.
So when the hearing officer says, I find you guilty, you hereby fined X. It has nothing to do with the harbor.
Yeah. We're not going to hear any fines. We have no administrative oversight over them. The sheriff will issue the fines, mm-hmm. and the county will hear them.
So just like if somebody's speeding through the harbor, mm-hmm. or I ran a stop sign several years ago, the one that's a buoy, and the harbor didn't have anything to do with that. I went to the court in Delmar County.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I won because it's an illegal stop sign.
Yeah.
But now they have legal.
Okay.
But anyways, we don't have anything to do with those laws, Dan. That's a local authority.
Okay. You got a year to work it all out.
Okay, Commissioner.
Yes. How'd you say?
Public comments.
Before I have to leave.
Someone online first. Raise their hand for some.
I'll be really quick. Just if I could ask you to please use the money that you guys have, the $7,000 in advertising money, to start getting the word out about how we're going to have a family-friendly 4th of July at South Beach. That will kind of, you'll be surprised. If we start getting the messaging out now for the people that return here as like a family reunion type vibe, they'll know, and then people that are in the adjacent communities will know. And if you guys advertise a event that you're having at the boat basin, that's going to be a quiet zone type thing, that would be a really good thing that you could fundraise off of too. But I've been trying to get the sheriff and the ad hoc on this, like from the very start, to do messaging early. And it's now it's almost April, and 4th of July is going to be here before you know it. So please, if you could prioritize advertising, please. Some of it's public service announcement and it's free that you could do on the radio. But then there's some that might cost a little bit of money, but it would be money well spent.
Thank you. The thing on that is that we could do the parking lot. From South Beach, we don't own South Beach. We just own down by the water.
But like, you could do something like cool, like say, hey, we're going to have
Sure, sure. But actually, I see what you're saying. I just want to reiterate the fact that we couldn't do South Beach. I don't think South Beach is going to be really a safe and sane place. But we're hoping, all I'm hoping for since we have started this whole thing is that we can have a safe and sane parking lot.
Yeah, and not have like any.
And then next year, maybe
damage.
We could stretch out from that. But for right now, it's just.
Well, I do know that RPC holds the cleanup event after the fact, and they fundraise off that. Why in the world can't they hold one on the day of and help prevent this?
Well, that's
and create
what this $5 is for, because it's been a huge maintenance problem.
South Beach, because they use South Beach.
Well, I think we do. There's a cleanup on South Beach. I do believe it's volunteer.
Well, I'm saying, can we get something for the day of to do more of a preventative? Because most of that washes into the ocean and it's highly toxic. And so I'm just saying, why not switch it and have?
Well, we need to go to the county for South Beach. Mm-hmm. We don't know South Beach.
Yeah, I'm saying this was something that the ad hoc people, I've told them from the very beginning. So I know that Harbor, only have the harbor, and South Beach, there's like a distinct line somewhere between what's yours and what's theirs. All I'm saying is that since you guys have the ability to help with the advertising part, please do. And that you could also advertise events in the Interboat Basin, what you guys are calling, I guess, the Interboat Basin. And maybe you could, you know, capitalize off of that too.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Done.
Yes, we got to end up.
Hi, it's Valerie Starkey. I appreciate your discussion today. I really want to make sure that we're very, very clear that the Sheriff's Department will hand out legal citations for breaking the law, which is California Penal Code. What they're not going to do within the harbor, and this is what, you know, I believe you're trying to say, but I really want to make sure everybody understands, they won't pass out ordinance violations within the harbor.
Yes.
That is the fine, the $1,000 fine per firework per incident. But, you know, when you break the law, and the jurisdiction, the Sheriff's Department does encompass the harbor, they could write a citation for breaking the law, but not for the fine. That's what he's saying this year. He needs to be able to focus on the bigger picture. So we're asking for the harbor to do a lot of advertising with regard to it is a safe family place to be. With regard to the ad hoc committee, I appreciate Mr. Evans and Mr. Gearhart being part of that. We are going to roll out our messaging starting on May 1st, and we have another meeting coming up where everybody will approve the actual messaging that will be on that. And we are going to, the CHP has offered to be able to forward that information outside the area. They have access to their social media outside of Del Mar County. And so we're really going to try this year. And I think that's the messaging that we have to say is we're not going to catch them all, right? We just want to alleviate some of the chaos that has been building for a lot of years around here. So I, again, just felt it necessary to really put the distinction out there that it's still illegal. It's always been illegal, right? The ordinances were just one more measure in place in order to avoid the illegal activity to give them a fine. But for this year, the sheriff has indicated he's going to write violations, which is illegal breaking the law citations, and then you have to go in front of the actual judge. For the ordinances, if you break that, then you go into a hearing officer. So there's just two different things happening at the same time, but I can understand it's confusing. I wanted to clarify that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Valerie. But let me clarify it out. Did we lose her?
No, I'm here.
So if we have a problem within the harbor, they will not come and enforce those laws inside our harbor? Is that what you're saying?
They will enforce state laws inside.
They will.
Oh.
They absolutely will.
Oh, I thought you said they would not enforce the ordinances inside the harbor.
They're not going to write ordinance citations within the harbor.
But
right?
If we have a problem.
And I'm not saying that for, you have a what?
If we have a problem in the harbor, then we can call the sheriff.
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That is
great.
Yeah.
That's,
absolutely.
I just thought I was.
He's just not going to. What I'm understanding him saying is that he's not going to proactively go around looking for the ordinance violations. If somebody's blowing off illegal fireworks, I mean that's a penal code violation.
Yeah.
That's an actual violation of a law, right? And it has been forever. We're not recreating anything with regard to that.
No, but I made the statement. I made the statement that if we had a problem inside the harbor, we could call the sheriff. That was what I read was that we could do, and I just wanted to clarify that we could still do that, because I understood you saying that they weren't going to write it inside the harbor. But thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. It's good to hear thank to see you, Mr. Shepard. So, all right, take care.
All right.
Another.
All right.
Question on the $5 parking. Does that include owners of boats who have rented slips?
No, I think the consensus was that we were going to give out, what, two free passes to people that have slips. Because, yeah, no, but they're not going to charge them. They're already paying us, so.
Too much, paying too much, but, oh.
Well, yeah, they were going to receive some free parking passes.
All right.
All right. Any other question or comment? All right. You're moving on to point B as an informational item. Consider implementing a computerized maintenance management system. Now we can finally talk about this. You did most of the research.
I did. I was trying to come up with a solution to, again, address some of the maintenance that is necessary in all buildings, and also to ensure preventative maintenance is occurring on everything from the docks to the machinery we have. Currently, I don't know that there are any paper logs ensuring that this maintenance is happening. And so while Sandy pointed out that it is an expense, my thought was I emailed Mr. Rademacher about the systems I had reviewed and asked him to review them and review others as well. And we both ended up coming up that Upkeep was the current system that would be the easiest to learn, the easiest to use, and the most feasible. At four maintenance members right now at $45 a month, which is their fee, it's $2,160 a year. Sandy's correct, we're losing money. My thought was that if you can prevent repairs of $2,000 or more in a year, or improve employee performance at $2,000 or more a year, it justifies that system. However, Sandy and Alicia also pointed out that we could use Excel spreadsheet in a sharing file system, which I'm not sure how that works, but that was the idea behind it.
My concern is that I think we undercounted the number of people that are going to be accessing this. I think that, I don't know if we have four maintenance personnel or not, maybe we should only have the maintenance supervisor access. I don't know if each of the individual maintenance workers are here, but if they do, great. But I think the harbor master should be on that, and possibly a future operations manager should also have access to the system. So it may go as high as 70, so that may affect the cost, doubling the estimate of $2,100.
Rob Becker, do you have a process in place right now that's sufficient to track the maintenance?
Well, we don't have a computerized system. I guess, and I do, in principle support the proposal that Vice Chair Niemer came up with. I mean, it is a cost. It does have some additional features, like you can add multimedia, like you can take pictures and attach that. There's some additional features that you wouldn't get with a spreadsheet. But if the board is hesitant about the cost, we could take an intermediate step and just try using like what's in our office software, like Excel, and try and ease into it.
So there's a 30-day free trial for this this software. Why don't you try it out first and come back to us in 30 days and let us know how it worked out?
Sure. Yeah.
How about that? And then, because I'd hate to decide to purchase it now and then we get into it and it's not right for us.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just agendized as an information item. So it's not a vote today, but yeah. Yeah.
Can we maybe just try that? Let's try it first.
Sure.
Let's see if it works. And if there's a benefit to the harbor, if it's streamlined, I like the idea that it looks at deferred maintenance and it looks at scheduling the maintenance items that need to be done annually, quarterly. you know, semi-annually. I think there is some benefit to the software, but try it out first. Let's see if it's right for us.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, you know, we just kind of have a word of mouth in the harbor that if something's broken, then they bring it to the harbor, and then the CEO tells the maintenance to take care of it if we're capable of it or whatever. So if this is something that's going to streamline it or whatever, I don't know. I wasn't really big on it, but I think the 30-day trial is definitely worth a try.
Well, I was thinking about it too. I think I'm obviously I strongly believe in computer-aided management. The question is, can we even try it out for 30 days with any without additional investments? So, if the employees are doing this out there in the field, what do they need to actually give it a good try? If they can use it, do we require them to use their own phones to sign in on that and do it, or do they have to come back and then sit down at the unit and type in? I have no clue how this really works. So we need to look at the practicality of the 30 days. Also, I don't know how the learning curve, how long the learning curve is. So that might be something. So 30 days.
It takes 30 days just to figure out how to do it, and it wouldn't. Yeah. But anyways, yeah.
Well, try it.
Yeah, so...
limited basis with a limited pool of people, if need be, to just figure out if it's right for us.
Yeah, I think the ideal device is probably, you know, individual cell phones, and there is this sort of principle in IT now, BYOD, bring your own device, so the application could be installed on a personal phone. It's not, I mean, as long as the employee is okay with that, I mean, I wouldn't want to, like, force it on somebody, but... if they're comfortable using, because you don't want to take like two phones with you everywhere.
Also feel that by using this software and with especially during the trial period, we might be able to learn something. If we feel that it's not worth it, our money, or we don't have to spend this money to spend, what can we learn from this software? What do we need to track? And maybe there's another way of how we can copy some of those components and use, let's say, a spreadsheet for it. Or a mixture of actions, but at least have it in writing, everything in computer, so you can bring it up and see some kind of a database that you can use.
Sure. Sounds good.
So we haven't come up with anything, but so for right now, the trial
just
is all right. It doesn't cost us anything. Any public comment on that?
Henry Geiger. Coming from a maintenance background in the military with an extensive amount of knowledge on working on different aspects of military-owned equipment and facilities, does the harbor not have a preventive maintenance check? I know that one of the biggest things that we did was had a single individual, and his task was to identify issues that had came up when maintenance personnel were doing their, you know, preventive maintenance checks. I know there's a lot of things that you cannot cover in that. I'm not a fan of computerized maintenance systems that does not have a preventive maintenance check on it. You get in your car and you drive it and you don't check your oil and it blows up, that's on you. I don't know how the maintenance crew here work. I know that they are overtaxed. And that's a given, because no matter where you go, you're overtaxed at work wherever you are employed. But I really would strongly advise that you would look at some kind of a preventive maintenance check system, and it can just be printed out and hung on the inside of the door of a building, and then they walk through, they turn on a light switch, the lights don't work, hey, something's wrong, right? And it's starting at the simplest level and escalating it higher is the easiest and most inexpensive way to prepare and fix items that you might encounter.
Thank you.
Yeah, so check this software and see if it has that.
I'm not sure of that, but it's bringing up something to light. I don't know if Rich and them have an actual maintenance checklist on all the pieces of equipment, like when the oil was changed last. I'm assuming they do, but that's something that we should look into.
I know this system does have a preventative maintenance feature.
It has a comprehensive one, so I was actually surprised. You can type in docks, and it comes up with preventative maintenance. I thought, being something small, it wouldn't know about docks, but it did, and it was daily, it was weekly, monthly, quarterly, annual. Yeah. So I was impressed.
Yeah. Because we had a guy walking the docks every day, but it's too expensive.
We could do the 30-day free trial, steal those lists, and put them in an Excel.
Sure. Oh, we're not talking about copyright infringement.
But the idea...
What we're talking about is getting ideas.
Implementing those checklists, because then it checkmarks, then it holds it accountable that somebody's actually performing the maintenance.
I think it's a great idea.
Yep.
But I'm going to check on that, because I don't know if we actually do have one or not, but I'm going to check on that.
All right. Somebody else would like to make a comment.
I'd just like to know that. I mean, I think this is a great idea, but before we start getting all this up-to-date stuff, have you guys ever gotten security cameras for the Harbor District? I mean, that's safety and security right there.
So
we're talking about all this other stuff and this $7,000 system here, but nothing out in the Harbor District. Why?
So we did apply for a grant. It was, I think, like $250,000. Unfortunately, there were like 500 applicants statewide, and they only awarded it to like 50. So we didn't get that grant. We did just actually last week spend a little bit of money, like $500, to adjust the camera placement at RHV. We had our IT contractor come out and do a little bit of cabling. So we're trying to do as much as we can with the limited money that we have to get a little bit better coverage on our cameras, but it's expensive. So,
somebody else.
What I've seen in this harbor with cameras is they caught people and they don't do anything to them.
Well,
red-handedly caught them stealing in the RV parks. Yeah. No, upside the RV parks over here. No, nothing to do with you. And you get the sheriff here, and it's a catch and release. And they steal the next day.
Well, I think there's more issues that happen besides just stealing, right?
Well, I'm not only talking stealing. I'm talking about vandalism. We know the people that vandalized the bathroom 2 weeks ago, but nothing was done to them. So.
Yeah.
And I've known you've been on this camera thing for a long time. I think it would be great, but on my perspective of it, it doesn't really help much.
Okay, so it's okay to commit murder out here because we know it won't be recorded. That's a good thing to know. Thank you.
All right. I think we have reached our last point on the open meeting, the dredging update. Let's stretch through it.
Yeah, so we had a request from the public. I don't know if Alicia, because she's gone, but she made a request for a dredging update. The last one I gave was in February. So we've been working with this group of resource agencies, and they shared a really useful document that I put in the staff report just to kind of give some perspective on how convoluted this process is. And they're trying to streamline it, but they're very focused on their, particular agency's mandate, and there's just so many hoops to jump through. And so, as I've kind of discussed back in February, we're focusing on a pilot project. That's probably the most feasible way to get dredging happening, in the most expeditious fashion, because that way we don't have to go through as much of an exhaustive permitting process. It'll just be a demonstration project. And we're looking at dredging about 10,000 cubic yards a year, which is a good amount, for maintenance. And so we can selectively go to different parts of the harbor, the high spots in the Innerboat Basin over by Fashion Blacksmith. And the disappointing thing is that it's going to be, right now, the estimate is about $1 million just for the pilot project. We're looking at how we can possibly scale that back or streamline the environmental review. But most of that cost is environmental compliance. It's just really You know, it's a very involved process. So if anyone wants a good overview, I'd encourage you to look at that link that's in the packet, and then you can read the staff report, which kind of summarizes it a little bit. But that's okay. What we got.
Any comments? Any public comments on that subject?
I'm very interested in this dredging report. Mr. Rademacher, thank you for bringing this up to date. So it's $1 million. Is there any expedient need to dredge right now, since we're not exactly open with a boat repair shop in town? We don't have one right now. So you're kind of dredging right now, and there's no need for immediate dredging right now, since we don't have any vessels that are being towed in or ingressed out. I mean, that's just something maybe you ought to think about. I'm not sure where the $1 million is coming from, or a portion of it, but once you start to dredge this process, next day it's obsolete. In comes the mud and sand, and sand again. So maybe you need to rethink this as to when this project will get going. By that time, you might be able to figure out where the money is going to come from. And then it'd be nice to have that building occupied again with a boat repair shop. That's simple. I'm not so sure that's such an easy ordeal, but vessel owners would like to have a place where they can have their vessels repaired. Yeah. Even the Coast Guard, we've lost business because they've gone elsewhere. So once we get that building stabilized, and whatever you're going to do with that building, which would be a nice boat repair shop, of course, then you can begin to address the dredging issue. And then, yes, we've got our monies all involved, and your financial condition will be perhaps a bit stronger than it is today. Just something to think about.
Thank you.
Roger, we actually, in a couple of meetings ago, we expressed to our grant writer that that's the number one priority.
Okay.
Is looking for a grant to get a sink over that we can haul boats with, and then we could do it without actually dredging with a synchro lift. So not the synchro lift, but a travel lift.
Okay.
And but we'd still need to dredge. I'm not saying that, but it isn't like we have forgotten about it or not doing anything about it. It's been put, the number one priority in this harbor is to get isn't that true, Mike?
Yep, for sure.
Get a grant where we can accomplish what you're saying.
And to further comment, dredging regardless is always necessary, whether you have a boat haul out or not, because the vessels have to unload over here, and if you don't dredge, you can't ingress and egress.
True.
It's just so hard to do.
No.
I can't emphasize how long we've been, 8 years, I've almost 7 years I've been here, and we have, you know, we've moved forward on the subject, but really not in any type of speed that I would be happy with at all. But I don't know what else we can do. I've written letters. I know that Mike and also Tim worked on it extensively, and we're going to do the best we can. We need to do it, and the best thing is this pilot project, I think, is going to be about the closest thing we can get.
All right.
Once again, preventive maintenance is what you're looking at doing with dredging. Since the dams have came out of the Klamath River, has there been any study as to the amount of silt, sand, and debris that will now be coming into this harbor because of the northern flow that we have here? Just a quick question. I mean, if we're not updating ourselves as to how much material we are expecting to inflow, we won't have any idea of how much material we need to take out. I truly believe that dredging this harbor is in the best interest of all involved. It might be small steps in the beginning, but if we neglect to dredge, how long will it be before this harbor is filled in?
Thank you.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there was radioactive isotopes that were tracked out of the dams, and they're tracking the way that the silt moves up the coastline. So I think they continually test, and we may learn in the future how much of that silt ended up in our harbor.
We had buoys deployed out there that showed the currents and the flow of the mud, and then we've done surveys before, and this is one of the things that I was in favor of, is that hopefully we did get some increase of silting. That would really expedite the dredging if you could get an emergency type dredging, and that was my hope. But I don't think a lot of it has been coming into here. But we are going to know, they are doing surveys on a regular basis to know the increase of silt that's come into our harbor. And my hope is that we can tie that in to dam removal, because it was written, I was part of that contract of writing the contract for the harbor with the outfit that did the removal, and that there is money available for us if that happens. And we have it written in a contract with them. So
well,
it's a good thing to bring that up. I'm hoping that that could be our next best way of getting dredging.
Well, we all know that the material flows in and out. It's a continuous cycle. It's just that now that you have those dams removed and the material behind those dams was not removed in accordance with their thoughts and plans, all of that material is now out here in the ocean, and it has nowhere else to go but to travel. And it's just a matter of time before it does travel this far. It might take 2 years. It might take 6 or 7. But until we know how much is coming in, we really won't know how much is going out. And dredging is the ideal
option. Yeah, very little of it out here. It goes to the west of the river.
Excuse me.
That's the meaning
of
the meeting.
Yeah, well, I only have it up to a certain point. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Anybody else on the dredging? All right, this concludes our regular meeting. I adjourn this meeting. The next meeting is our workshop on the 2nd, next Wednesday. At 2 p.m. And after this, the next regular meeting is Wednesday, April 9th at 2 p.m. I will reconvene for our special meeting of
closed session.
For the closed session in a few minutes. Thank you.
So there's a closed session right now?